Happy Feast of Trumpets. It's good to be back here. Unfortunately, the flu has been going around the Sandy family, so most of the family is still at home recovering, and we did not want to share any of those blessings with the rest of the congregation. So,
thank you.
You're welcome. So Abriana and I are here, and it's good to be back with our church family. So today's the Feast of Trumpets, and in the scripture reading, we already recited some of the verses that are used to talk about the feast and why we are here today. The title of my message today is, Can You Hear the Trumpets Blowing? Do you know what to listen for? You know, trumpets are used to give messages, to give signals. In the Bible, we see God instructing the Israelites to use them to know when to move camp or when to attack. Trumpets were used to bring down the wall of Jericho. On the seventh day, marching around, they marched around seven times, they shouted, and the priests blew their trumpets. So there's a lot of symbology used with trumpets. When we go to Leviticus 23:23 to verse 25, we see God speaking to Moses, and I'm going to read starting in verse 23. It said, The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, In the seventh month, in the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. So we see this command, and people debate whether this is something that believers should do today. Is it being legalistic? I like to take the approach that today is a day, it's not something that we have to do, it's something we get to do. It's actually a privilege to be able to meet with God at a holy time and to have a holy gathering. So rather from a legalistic approach of keeping this day, I hope we approach it with love. It's a blessing to be able to gather here with like-minded believers. I feel blessed to be able to come to such a beautiful facility on a beautiful day. And I have so much work going on as I prepare for the feast. I'm glad to take a day off. I'm glad to get out of the house full of sick kids. So we get to honor God in this way. We get to show him love in this way. And I do believe there are blessings for that. Now, because today is a Thursday, and many of us would have work or school today, I'm gathering that I don't need to give a message to convince you and make the case that you should be doing this. I believe that the Holy Spirit has already worked with you. And I believe you're convinced in that manner. So today I want to take the approach of, can you hear the trumpets blowing? I'm going to start in Revelation 8. Because in Revelation 8, we see this vision that John is having about what's going on in heaven. And in verse 1 of Revelation 8, something is about to happen. It says, when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. That's really interesting because you think about what's going on in heaven, right? There are the 24 elders casting down their crowns. There are these creatures around the throne, and everyone and everything is giving glory to God and to the Lamb, saying how great they are, holy, 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 and praising them. It's a joyful place. It's a wonderful place. But the seal is open, and there's silence. And so, and I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. And another angel, who had a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. And he was given much incense to offer, with the prayers of all God's people, on the golden altar in front of the throne. The smoke of the incense, together with the prayers of God's people, went up before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar and hurled it on the earth. And there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. Then the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to sound them. So this is a scene in heaven, and you and I, as believers, we are part of that scene. Do you realize that the prayers that we give, and it says that, so it's not out of context, in verse 3, it says, with the prayers of all God's people. And it restates it in verse 4, together with the prayers of all God's people. So our prayers and the prayers of all of our brothers and sisters and God's people are going up before him, and this is going to get hurled to the earth. It says in verse 6, then the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to sound them. The first angel sounded his trumpets, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood and hurled it down to the earth. And a third of the earth was burned up. A third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. The second angel sounded his trumpet, and something like a huge mountain, all ablaze, was thrown into the sea. A third of the sea turned into blood. A third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. The third angel sounded his trumpet, and a great star, blazing like a torch, fell from the sky on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. In verse 12, it says, the fourth angel sounded his trumpets, and a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them turned dark. A third of the day was without light, and also a third of the night. So people wonder, is this just symbols? Are these things really going to happen? How prophetic is it? Is this literal? I'm not going to talk about that today. In verse 13, it says, as I watched, I heard an eagle that was flying in midair call out in a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because the trumpet blast about to be sounded by the other three angels. So in the Seventh-day Adventist movement, they have a message, and they call it the three angels message, talking about end time prophecy and what is to happen to believers. But you could read it right there in the Bible, what those three angels and what those trumpets are going to sound like. It's interesting because when you look at the first four angels, all of those things, none of them sound really good, right? None of them sound really good. So when it says something like a huge mountain, all ablaze was thrown into the sea, I imagine in my mind, that sounds like some big volcano or volcanic eruption. I've seen them, and they are scary. I've also seen the fires in the hills of California when I was visiting Rock Valley a couple years ago. And you can drive through, and you look all around, and there is nothing but fire and ash. I describe it as being beautiful and terrifying at the same time. But when we talk about hail mixed with fire and blood, and then something like a great star falling from the sky, I don't know, that sounds like maybe some kind of missile or comet or asteroids, something like that. We don't know exactly. But then we see symbols of the third of the sun and the days being dark. What I want to talk about is what happens after this. So if we drop down to Revelation 9, because in Revelation 9 we get the other three angels. But in Revelation 9, verse 20, this is what I want to ask you today when we talk about, can you hear the trumpets blowing? So we see these things going on, and the question is asked, or the statement is made, that I think is very mind-boggling. You know, Jeff Leedy, he used to pastor this congregation for a long time, would always ask, how come, how come, how come? It says, the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues still did not repent of the work of their hands. They did not stop worshiping demons and idols of gold, silver, bronze, stone, and wood, idols that cannot see, hear, or walk. Nor did they repent of their murders, their magic arts, their sexual immorality, or their thefts. A lot of times we like to focus on the sensational. And what I mean the sensational, it's cool to have a sermon and speculate what those seven trumpets are actually going to look like. It's fun and exciting. I used to like those sermons when I was little, and you hear some of the pastors give their spin on it. And that's okay. I think there is a place for that because it's in the Bible, so it definitely has value, and we should think about those things. We should. But understand that those trumpets being sounded has a purpose. God isn't torturing his creation just to torture his creation. God is trying to get people's attention. So you have these dramatic events happening. And does it get people's attention? Does it get the attention of the church? So can you hear when the trumpets are blowing? So this is what's going on. And again, I don't believe this is necessarily literal. So the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues still did not repent of the work of their hands. They did not stop worshiping demons and idols of gold, silver, bronze, stone, wood, idols that cannot see, hear, or walk. I don't want you to think of idolatry as it used to be thousands of years ago, where people from Greece and Rome to Africa, South America, North America, everywhere on this planet, they would carve figures and pray to them. And we have those, whether it's the beautiful temples in Greece or the art that we find in South America or even pyramids. Those are all symbols of ancient idolatry. But we still have idolatry in 2024. Some of us live in our idols. Some of us might get into our idols and drive to work. Some of us wear our idols. It didn't say paper here, but some of us, it's the paper that's in our bank account. or it's the paper we don't have that we slave away for and compromise. And we don't get to keep today because we're worried about that paper idol that we're chasing. So some of us worship dead presidents. Some of us worship alive presidents. Some of us trying to worship the next president. And guess what? These idols, they still can't see. They still can't hear. It says, nor did they repent of their murders, their magic arts, their sexual immorality, or their thefts. You know, sometimes when we think about, you know, stealing, you know, we think about just a guy that might have a problem, you know, breaking into someone's house. But our society is so corrupt that our governments steal from the people. The people that we trust to run our schools are stealing money from the students. Preachers are stealing money from their churches. And you can go on and on and on. So it doesn't matter if it's the CEO of a grocery store chain inflating prices to steal from you, or the manager of that store inflating the prices to line his pocketbooks. We see these are things that God aren't pleased with. Why do I bring these up? Because the goal of these trumpets blowing was to get mankind to stop this. See, now that's not as sexy to talk about as an asteroid landing in the ocean. Or blood and fire and hail. So in Revelation, God is showing John a vision of what's going to happen. He's using these symbols. And John, thousands of years ago, is trying to put that into words with the technology that he's familiar with. He's never seen an aircraft carrier or a tank. He doesn't know what biological weapons look like or nuclear weapons. So he's describing what he sees or what's revealed to him. I want to tell you something. Jesus Christ is going to describe the same thing to his disciples about the importance of trumpets and the why. See, the why is what I want us believers to focus on. Because remember, there was a purpose for this. The purpose was for mankind to say, you know what? We need to change. We need to stop. We can't have business as usual. It's not working. God isn't pleased. I want you to turn to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. So in Matthew 24, Jesus Christ is going to take his disciples aside. See, in Matthew 23, he was talking to everybody. He was talking to the people. He was talking to his disciples. And he was about to give another seven. It wasn't seven trumpets. It was seven woes. So I'm not going to read Matthew 23. But you can check it out. He gives seven woes in Matthew 23. He's talking to the scribes, the Pharisees. He's talking to the religious people about the seven woes. He's talking to the teachers of the law about these seven woes. He's going to say, you see these scribes, these Pharisees, these leaders, they sit in Moses' seat. So I want you to listen to what they tell you, but don't do what they do. Because these people in these churches, they're going to make a lot of rules. They're going to bind rules on you that I really didn't make. He called them blind guides. He said, you're focusing on the wrong things. You're going to talk about this one little bitty part of the law, but you're going to neglect justice, mercy, and faith. Churches, some churches love to talk about tithing, right? Give us the money, give us the money. But they don't do good. So Jesus is going to give seven woes to the religious people. And then he's going to look at Jerusalem. And he's going to say, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I want to protect you. I long to gather you as a mother hen gathers her chicks, but you would not have it. And today we still see the religious community. Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Jerusalem is under attack. Oh no. God wants us to protect Jerusalem. Does he? I think God is capable of protecting Jerusalem himself. I don't know. I remember God telling Israel that if you do, you know, what I say, you barely need an army. You can have like one guy, just one guy, and it could be a whole army in front of him, and that one guy is going to be boo, and everyone's going to run. I might have read that somewhere. Maybe I misunderstood it. See, a godly Jerusalem doesn't need nuclear weapons or F-22s. Oh, I'm in the text. Matthew 23. Seven woes. So after, and this context is important for you to be able to hear the trumpets. So Matthew 23, that's where he came from. That's what he was doing. As I step into Matthew 24. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. He was in the temple talking to the religious folks. And his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, you see all these things? This is what I'm going to tell you. There's not going to be one stone that's not going to be thrown down. I've seen the memes. People say, well, you know what? If this land really belongs to the Jews, how come the temple of Islam or their temple is on top of God's temple? Well, God wasn't pleased with the temple and he destroyed it. That's what Jesus said. And he sat on top of Mount Olives, and his disciples came to him privately, saying, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? So it's two questions. They ask about, he told them what's going to happen to the temple. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceives you. That's going to be a theme here because over and over and over again, when it comes to God and the message that he wants, so many people put their agenda or their spin on it. Again, the purpose of what God was doing with the plagues, what he did with the plagues in Egypt, what he's doing is to seek repentance, to seek a change, to turn attention to him, not anyone else. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. I think sometimes we misunderstand that, because there are a couple ways to look at it. You know, I used to think, he's talking about these charlatans who are going to come and they're going to say, I'm Jesus. No, I'm really Jesus. I'm really Jesus. And people are going to follow them. I think that's true to some extent. But what he's also saying is many people are going to come and they're going to say, Jesus is Lord. So they're going to come and they will tell you that I am Christ, and they'll still deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled, for those things shall come to pass, but it is not the end. We waste time, many times, on what I call headline theology. Iran attacked Israel. Let's talk about that, Sabbath keepers, because we want to beat you so bad. Did I say that out loud? I might say it again. And they're always right, so let's talk about that. See, right here, the words of Yeshua, the Messiah, he says, see that I'm not troubled. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my sake. And then many shall be offended, and they shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. And because of iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold. But he that shall endure until the end, the same will be saved. He's telling you how to save yourself. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, a witness unto all the nations, and then the end shall come. I think it's interesting. So he's telling them some of the things that are going to happen in Judea. In verse 20, I always think that it's interesting, right? When he says, I want you to pray that your flight to get away from the trouble is not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Why does the Lord of the Sabbath care if the Sabbath isn't something that's dear to him? So he says that. But where I really want to focus is on verse 21. Because now we've narrowed it down to a unique time. Because in verse 21 he says, for then shall be tribulation, such that was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. So there's going to be a time when things are so bad that it's a unique event. There have been tribulations in the past, many, and there may be some going forth, but this time it's going to be very bad. And he says, and except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then, if any man shall say to you, lo, there is Christ, or here is Christ, believe it not, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and they will show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect. Behold, I've told you before. Wherefore, if they say unto you, behold, he's in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he's in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as lightning comes out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall the coming of man be. So it's saying, when Jesus Christ really comes back, you will know it. If someone has to tell you, Jesus Christ has come back, that ain't it. I don't care if it's a pastor, a preacher, a prophet with revelation, you see it on TBN. If Jesus is coming back, you will know it. you will know it. There was a preacher in the Worldwide Church of God days that said he had a dream that, you know, he was alive and Jesus had come back, right? And he was looking around and he started seeing all the people of God, you know, starting to be wafted up to meet him in the air. And he was on the ground and he was, but he was still on the ground. When Jesus comes back, if you are with him, you will know it because you should be in the air. You shouldn't be. If he comes back and you are not wafting up, get on your knees and start repenting. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give off her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. Didn't we read that in Revelation? And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and glory. Not everyone is going to be happy when Jesus comes back. You ever thought about that? In verse 31, we see it again. It says, "And he shall send his angels with the sound of a trumpet." So can you hear that trumpet? "And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." So when he comes back, you should know it. "Now learn a parable from the fig tree. When the branch is yet tender and put it forth leaves, you know summer is near. Likewise, when you see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily, I say unto you, this generation shall not pass until all these things are fulfilled. Heaven and earth should pass away, but my words will not pass away." This is what applies to the church in verse 36. It says, "But for that day and hour, no man knows. No, not the angels in heaven, but my Father only." Can you hear the trumpets? If your organization is putting out books saying Jesus Christ is going to return at a certain date, they do not know what they are talking about. It seems elementary. I shouldn't have to say this. It's not even the kind of message I like to give. But guess what? Organizations put out books. 1970, 1985, 19 this, 18 something. It's happened. Over and over and over and over and over and over, and people still do it. So I don't know the date, and that's not what God wants us to look for or listen. He just told us. So can you hear the trumpets? Can you hear the trumpets? And what are you supposed to do about it? In verse 37, so only God the Father knows, only being that knows this date. "But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days of Noah that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark." Do you understand that? So even when things get bad, human beings still keep doing what they are doing. So even whatever the plagues are, things are going to be normalized. It always happens. Even in World War I, World War II, everything that was going on, anytime we've had it bad, humanity still seems to find a way to keep it moving. And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall the coming of man be. Then shall two be in the field, one taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, one taken, the other left. This is used to sometimes preach the rapture. Now, in truth, there will be a rapture, meaning a lifting up, but that's at the coming of Jesus Christ. It's not a secret rapture. It says, watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord comes. So can you hear the trumpets? Because remember, so the last trumpet, that's the one where Jesus Christ comes back. But there are trumpets before that. Even more importantly, there are woes before that. And I'm not talking about the woes in Revelation. I'm talking about the woes that Jesus Christ gave us thousands of years ago. Are we listening to those? Are we making sure that we're not being blind guides or we're not following blind guides? Are we loving our neighbors? Are we forgiving people that hurt us? Or do we just want to prove that we're right? Do we just want to argue about calendars? Do we just want to discuss, well, you know, there were these silver trumpets, and the trumpets mean this, and the trumpets mean that? That's great. That's really great. Forrest, Clay, Mariah, how exciting is that to the people of your generation? Get them in the doors. Right? That's really applicable to your everyday life, and that helps you to walk with God, right? That's how we equipped our young people. You guys are really excited to hear years and years of those messages. So no, you won't get one from me. I can give it. That's, you know, a Bible study. I'm not saying it doesn't have value. But just like Jesus Christ said to them, he said, you know, you want to waste time talking about tithing of your mint and your cumin, and that's all right. He didn't say never do that or that's evil, but he's like, you're neglecting the weightier matters of the law. So can you hear the trumpets? Can you focus? Can we focus, church, on the things that we should be talking about? Can we really hear the trumpets? Because the trumpet is supposed to alert us and tell us when to move. And we need to be alerted that, you know what? Jesus Christ is coming back. He's coming back for his people. Let's lead with Jesus. There's a whole bunch of other things that we get to do, and we should let people know we get to do these things. But that's not the message. The trumpet is the alert. In 1 Thessalonians 4, it says, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And we saw that. We saw that in Revelation. Right? The angels are up there. God is going to give them a trumpet. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So when that trumpet blows, the expectation that I have is that the dead in Christ will go up first, and then the church of God, however you want to define that, will be going up to meet God. So, what should my message be? As someone who's been given the privilege and the blessing to speak to you, I think what provides the most value is encouraging you to be one of the people that are up in the air when that trumpet blows. So I could give you head knowledge about today, or we can talk about how we need to clean up our lives so that all the things that we need to repent for, it's easy to point the finger at the world and say, oh, it's the idolatry, it's the murder, it's the theft. It's easy to point at the Pharisees and say, oh, that's how they were doing religion? And they were making up rules like that? And they were doing, guess what? All religions do it. You know, it's funny. Some of my children, they have friends of other faiths. And from time to time, they get into these, you know, spiritual debates. Well, how come you do that? How come you do that? How come you do that? You know, your religion is legalistic. And I said, son, most religions are legalistic. It's just what they have rules about. It's just what they have rules about. But God has his rules and his standards. And he's telling us that if we're faithful to the end, that's what Jesus Christ said in Matthew 24, that we will see the kingdom of heaven. So it says, after those, we who are alive and left will be caught up in the air. How do we do that? Well, let's hear the trumpets. Let's look at the signs. Jesus Christ already told us what to focus on. So yeah, there's a war going on, a rumor of a war, a proxy war, a shadow conflict. Yes, it's going on in the Middle East. Oh, let's look to Jerusalem. How about you look in your house? Look in your marriage. Look at your job. Are you robbing your employer? Are you robbing your employee? Are you idolizing something you should not? What is a bigger priority than God in your life? Because anything can be an idol. And that's going to stop you from having God as number one. That's what I want to preach about. That's what I want to talk about. That's what I want to leave you with. I want to make sure that we are with the Lord. Because in Revelation 11, we see the seventh angel. You know, we're going through all the angels and all the woes and everything like that. And so the seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven, which said, the kingdoms of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and his Messiah, and he will reign forever and ever. So once that seventh trumpet sounds, Christ is coming back for his creation. And he's taking his people with him. What do you love in this world so much that you cannot hear the trumpets? You know, I think about that a lot, right? What do you love in this world so much that you can't hear the trumpets? Because Jesus says it's going to be just like the days of Noah. Noah is building that ark, and he's preaching over and over and over and over. He's preaching for over 100 years. He's preaching. He's building this big ship. And people are desensitized to it. And he says, you know, it wasn't until they got swept away. That's what Jesus said. It wasn't until they got swept away in the flood that they realized, oh, Noah was right. They were marrying. They were going about their business. It was normal to them. So what's so important? What was so compelling that they could not hear the trumpets blowing? What is it in our religion that Jesus Christ has to come, and to people who read the Bible, I want you to understand, when it talks about teachers of the law, in this context, okay, they're not necessarily talking about priests. There were scholars, and their job was to read the Bible. That's all they did. Like, you talk about Bible study, you ain't never did a Bible study like these guys did Bible study. 8 hours a day. When it's talking about he's debating with lawyers, the Bible was their law book. That should be good, right? It should be. But this is what he's saying. It's not about your head knowledge. It's about your heart. You can have all the knowledge. Well, I think it should be 5 and 6 or 7 or whatever. My eyes glaze over. Don't do it anymore. I can. But I need to make sure that the knowledge that I do have goes from my head and goes into my heart. Because the kingdom of this world that people are holding on to, it says, when Jesus Christ is coming back, the tribes of this earth, they're going to mourn. No, I'm on TikTok. Don't come back now. I'm finally getting all the likes. I finally went viral, and now Jesus got to come back. He's about to be an internet star. So the 24 elders who were seated on their thrones fell on their faces in worship. We give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, the one who was and who is, because you've taken your great power and have begun to reign. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come. The time has come for judging the dead and for rewarding your servants, the prophets, and your people who revere your name, both great and small, and for destroying those who destroy the earth. Then God's temple in heaven was open. I want you to think about that. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, coming back with the sound of the trumpet. So on the Feast of Trumpets 2024, I'm asking you and I'm leaving you with the question, can you hear the trumpets blowing? Because when the last one blows, if you can hear trumpet number 1, trumpet number 2, trumpet number 3, get your life right. Repent. We see that's the end goal of the trumpet. Repent. And we all have things that we need to repent from. And repentance is a continuous event. You know, I remember when I first started my walk after I got baptized, you know, I was aware of some of my character flaws. And I said to myself, you know what? If I could only overcome this one sin, or this too sin. I have okay, you know, I know. You know, I'm an all right person, but I know I have these three things God isn't pleased with. So I need to work on them. I need to work on them. Because it's you're humble. You know that, you know, Jesus Christ died for you and things like that. And maybe you start doing better and better and better. And you're like, okay, good, good, good. But you know what? It wasn't until I conquered some of those things that I realize, wow, I'm still a pretty horrible person. You know? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Right? After you defeat, you ever see one of those movies where, you know, the person's looking and they're like, yeah, I'm going to climb that mountain and I'm going to get to the other side. And you get to that top of the mountain and you realize, oh, wow, there's nothing but mountains. But that's why we have Jesus. To take us over those mountains and with the mountains that we can't overcome with our desperately wicked hearts, we trust in him and his grace will make up the difference. We truly are saved by his grace. Can you hear the trumpets blowing?